Almost heaven. Almost. Almost heaven. Summer Institute. Upside down tree, ice cream, air conditioning. Social justice. Central path. Tattoos, tie dye. Ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. In the morning, we will share a celebration of the week we are about to leave behind. Thank you, friends, for offering your spirit to all who work to build our community. Community. Country roads bring us back to SI next year. OMD, SI will come back here next year. All youth lost and found. I think that's things belonging to the youth. Maybe lost youth. Items are in the lobby of Gund Dorm. Youth in the youth dorm for checkout. I'm going to do a little bit about checkout and departure, and then a few other things. Youth in the youth dorm must check out with their parent or sponsor. You need to be there between 8 and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning in the dorm. In many dorms, there is a box somewhere near the main entrance to the dorm that is a drop box. Do not drop your keys there. It says leave your keys here, but do not, please do not. It will take us a while to recover those, and we might think you lost your key before we figure out where it was, and then we'll think you have to pay us money and all of that. So do not put them in the drop boxes that are in your dorms. A reminder that we do not need to have dishes left in the dorms from the dining hall. We do have breakfast tomorrow morning from 7 to 9. Please, if you have dishes that you took over the week because you needed a snack when the dining room wasn't open, please take them back in the morning. That would be very helpful. Reminders just about time. We will meet here at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning for our closing ceremony. At 11 a.m. or whenever closing ceremony ends. We will start checkout over in Gund Commons. That's where we registered on Sunday. It's also where the youth program has held the bulk of their programming this week. And we need to be moved out of all the dorms by noon and ready to depart. And we do need those staying in the Bushnell dorm on South Campus to be out by 9 a.m. Again, if you need to leave before it's time to hand in your keys, you can give your key to any of the planning committee members. We will take care of them for you. I have a couple myself right now. But that's a good way to get your key to us and make sure that we don't lose it. We promise not to lose it. We have a number of T-shirts, this year's T-shirt, that are available still, the ones that were left in the bookstore. And you can buy extra T-shirts for $5, that is this year's T-shirt, when you check out in Gund Commons tomorrow. We'll have those over there. So you can keep that in mind and consider picking up an extra shirt if you need one. Think about taking one to someone you love who you think should be here, because maybe that will help convince them. A note for Pittsburgh Area High School Youth. UUCSH Youth Group is sponsoring a kayaking excursion on a river I can't pronounce on August 4th for $18. That one. And we'll hang this sign back up in the lobby at Pierce so that if you are coming to breakfast in the morning, you can take a look at it and see how to contact them. A quick piece about scholarship donations. We're going to talk to Sharon Sikora in just a moment. But the Reiki sessions, and I can't for the life of me remember your name. Nola. Thank you. Nola, who was offering Reiki sessions for a donation to the scholarship fund in the dining hall lobby this week, raised $149 for the scholarship. An update for folks who are interested to know, Bill Alkire, who had surgery yesterday? Sorry, all the days seem the same. His doctors report that he is exactly where they want him to be following that surgery, and he will be transferring home to a rehab facility on Sunday or Monday. They are in the Worcester area, and so they'll be heading home. So, thank you. Carl Hopkins Lutz is here. Can you raise your hand? She's kind of in the middle. Carl needs a ride to Cleveland Heights when we depart tomorrow. Some transportation fell through and he could use some support. So if anyone might be able to offer that. Carl, how about when we're all done tonight, come down towards the front of the stage and stay for a few minutes, and anyone who might be able to help, come down and talk to Carl. Thank you. These things have been lost. The first thing on the list is J.B. Lawton. So J.B. might be lost. If you find him, bring him back. But also, his risk game is, in fact, still lost. When I thought I saw that someone had it, what I was seeing was a person who loves that game and had a lot of fun playing it and is sad that it's also missing. So we don't know where that risk game is. That said, if you find anything in your dorm as you're packing up, whether you put it there or not, and you think it's a lost item, and you're checking out at Gund Commons, consider bringing it with you, because ultimately anything we pick up in the dorms after people are gone is going to end up there, so that would be helpful. So JB is looking for his risk game. We are also looking for a blue first aid pouch with clip-on sunglasses inside it. That belongs to Evelyn Sobchak. We are looking for a black baseball cap that is a Muskingum University cap. John Graham is looking for that. And Cade Hoffman might be lost because I have his name tag. Is anybody with Cade? Awesome. I think it's a bike key.
It's not a $150 room key, though.
I have one thing. It's a small film, and it was in the aisle. If anybody knows, it's there.
Okay. I have a pill that was lost on the floor. Where's Mary Ruth? We've been looking for that one for days, so thank you. An update about the survey. We do want your feedback. Don't forget, I know a lot of folks were filling out some of the paper copies tonight at supper, so thank you for doing that. And the survey link is live as of now on omdsi.org. So we encourage you to fill that out sooner than later because we want thoughts while they're fresh in your mind, and we really do want your feedback. I believe... Yes. Assume that 5 is the best because it's more than 1, and 1 is the least, so maybe it's lesser. Yes. Yes. If you give us a survey that has all 1s, we're going to assume that you interpret it the wrong way and make it the best. And I say us knowing that I'm not going to be the one analyzing those this year. Okay, I think that's everything I have for you. Sharon Sikora, come on up. Sharon Sikora is our scholarship coordinator, and she's got a few things to share with us. It is not too late to donate to the scholarship fund.
Hello, it's absolutely not too late to donate to the scholarship fund. I have a big plastic bag that I'm carrying with me, and I'd like to have that filled. Tomorrow, at the opening ceremony in the back of the auditorium in the back of Rossi there, there'll be some kind of container into which you can dump your change that hopefully you've been saving all week long. And if you haven't been saving it all week long, you should clean out your pockets and bring all your change with you and dump it into that container. I can tell you that at this point, minus the $149 from Reiki, that just this week we have about 2,400 was donated just this week. There was a more specific breakdown in tonight's kaleidoscope, and there have been, of course, some shifts and changes since that time. And then you'll notice that if you took a look at the kaleidoscope, that since April when people started registering, we had about $3,700 donated. So right now, we have about $6,200, $6,300 in the scholarship fund towards next year. I'd like to get that a bit higher. If you'll recall, we gave out about $8,125 this year, so consider giving us your change and your checks. Those can be given to me. You can also donate directly through the OMD website. What I'd also like to do is to share with you four short stories, three very short and one a little longer, from people who are either, basically people here are that I have are all on scholarship in some way, shape, or form this year, either partial or full. The first one, my mom is sick and can't work. If I did not receive a scholarship, I wouldn't be able to come to SI. I am here for the first time with my grandparents. I'm grateful for the chance to be here and for my new SI friends. Here's another one. Thank you so much for the scholarship that my family was gifted this year. The sixth grade class made crafts and sold them to raise money for the scholarship fund. Scholarships are a nice way for families to come to SI for the first time. Here's a little longer one. I found Unitarian Universalism in 2007, and from the start, I felt that I had found a new family, a very loving and supportive family. Unfortunately, as my ties to my UU family grew closer, my marriage fell apart, and for the first time in my life, I was in a financial disaster. My personal debt load, not my ex-husband's, climbed to tens of thousands of dollars due to his compulsive overspending. Without his income, I could not meet my mortgage payments. Eventually, I was sucked into a foreclosure lawsuit. I had reached one of the lowest points of my life. Through it all, my UU family supported me emotionally and spiritually. I knew that in the long run, I was going to be okay. Through several summers of those dark days, I watched my UU friends shimmer with excitement as they prepared for SI, and when they returned from Summer Institute, joy and laughter spilled from them in stories about this great experience in this wonderful community. I wanted so much to be at SI with them. I knew I had to buckle down, to dig in my heels, and to put my nose to the grindstone. I work 2 to 3 jobs, sometimes 80 to 90 hours a week. I represented myself, although I'm not an attorney, in the foreclosure lawsuit and negotiated a mortgage modification that has allowed me to keep my home with a payment schedule that fits my income level. I have chipped away at that mountain of debt, but it's going to take a while to make it all go away. This is all good news, but the best news is that I fell in love and married again. Life is so much better with this wonderful man beside me. But one thing that he respects about me is my self-reliance. He and I share the expense of maintaining our home, but the nightmare previous marriage debt is something I insist on paying myself. When I applied for an SI scholarship, I told the committee I'd be coming anyway, even if I paid for it all myself. But if my OMDUU friends could find it in their hearts to help me fund my first trip to SI, then I could put more money towards shutting the door to the nightmares from my past. I got the nicest surprise. My UU family came through again. Thank you all for helping me come. I'm having an excellent time. And the last one, a short one, I thought was fitting to end on because it will bring it to our minds and our hearts once again, John Marshall. And also I should mention as well Amber Henson and the wonderful donation from her family. And if you decide you would like to donate to the scholarship fund and you would like those monies to go toward first-time youth attendees to SI, just make sure to put that in the subject line of the check. Or if you're giving me cash, you know, I'll be sure to write a little note right on those dollar bills, and that'll get to the right place, okay? The last one, and with this I'll close and say thank you. The scholarship fund has enabled my family to attend SI for several years. Still, it's hard to ask for financial assistance. As this beloved community has talked about social justice, class, and race this week, I have been reminded of where my family falls within that continuum. While we may pass on the outside, it is on the inside that the difficult dialogue around these issues persists. I want to thank John Marshall for allowing me to share some of that difficult dialogue from my first tentative inquiry about the possibility of a scholarship. He responded to me with compassion and respect. He made me feel safe to share my story in confidence. I will always be grateful for his kindness and remember the way in which he honored our struggles. Thank you. And again, please give.
As we end our time together, let's make a deal. And here it is. There is meaning in the world, and we need to participate in that meaning. There is worth and dignity within us and among us. And when we congregate, true community is possible. And there's more. Our beloved relations extend beyond these doors, all the way out to the whole world and to the cosmos. There is a most excellent interdependent of all existence, and this is cause for celebration. So let's sing and clap our hands and even dance if we like. There's so much to be thankful for, but there's so much more to experience and also to learn and to hope for. And when we join together, the odds toward goodness can only get better, can only be larger, and goodness never gets too large. So come whoever you are, and let us worship together.
And I would invite us to join together in singing our first song. And there it is. And if you were at worship this morning, you heard the choir singing this for us. But I will sing it. I'll sing the first verse, and then let's sing the first verse together and sing it all the way through. It goes like this. May I be at peace and ease and know the joy of my true nature. Know the joy of my true nature. May I be at one and well within a sea of loving kindness, in a sea of loving kindness. May I be free from suffering. May I be safe from harm, open in deep compassion. May I live the joy of loving kindness, my true nature, loving kindness. My true nature, please rise and let's sing it from the beginning. May I be at peace and ease and know the joy of my true nature. Know the joy of my true nature. May I be at one and well within a sea of loving kindness, in a sea of loving kindness. May I be free from suffering. May I be safe from harm, open in deep compassion. May I live. joy of loving kindness, my true nature. Someone close to you. May you be at peace and ease and know the joy of your true nature. Know the joy of your true nature. May you be at one and well within a sea of SI and the larger community holding SI. May we be at peace and ease and know the joy of our true nature. Know the joy of our true nature. May we be at one and well. Well, we're almost at the end of this amazing week, and we all know that everyone here, in a sense, created their own SI. We all created our own reality this week, and yet, behind all of the individual differences, all of the decisions to attend that tie-dye workshop, or go to the small ensembles, go to the pub, or whatever we did, underneath it all was this common stream that was feeding us, whether or not we were consciously dipping into it. And that, of course, was the stream of exploring and expressing this intersection between spirituality and social justice. And if there's anything that sets us apart as a religious movement, it is that we have consistently embodied that calling to a beloved community. Even when we didn't have a consensual language system to express why it was that we were being called forth. And so I wanted to say a couple of words about the song that we just sang, about this whole practice of loving kindness, which is called metta, which is why the song is called metta. Years and years ago, I heard a story that was told about the first teachers bringing the metta practice to America. Now, at that point, you have to remember that metta was several thousand years old. It was one of the leading practices in the Buddhist tradition. From many, many different streams of Buddhism, many people practice metta. But around the world, metta is thought of as something that you offer to someone else. And so it was an other person-related practice. And so when these teachers arrived in the United States, what they realized was that unlike any other culture they had encountered, metta was not taking root. We didn't get it. Every other culture seemed to just resonate with metta and go deep, and people were enlightened and, you know, led wonderfully happy, giving, generous lives. But in America, it wasn't going anywhere. And so the teachers started to look to say, what's different about our culture here? And what they noticed was that people weren't taking it in, that we don't have the capacity in our culture as the default setting. We don't know how to practice self-compassion. Now, at first, this sounds a little absurd because we are, after all, the culture that buys more electronic gadgets and is more in danger of becoming a culture of narcissism. So you'd think that we'd be really good at being kind to ourselves. But it turns out that, you know, what they discovered was that all of our efforts at self-fulfillment were focused outward. And so we didn't have the basic capacity to be able to say, oh, may I be at peace and ease. May I be well. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be happy. And so they backtracked and they said, okay, you have to start by saying this for yourself. And when they did that, suddenly the practice started to take root. And so now we have a burgeoning Buddhist presence in Unitarian Universalism and in most of our communities. And one of the lessons that leaves me with is that we cannot give to someone else what we don't have ourselves. Thank you. And now we will hear from the folk orchestra again. One of the happiest people I knew was a friend of mine who some of you here might have known. He was a UU minister out in California named Dan O'Neill. And Dan was not a, I mean, he was always a wonderful person, but when Dan was dying, he became luminously happy. Not all the time, but he had moments of such profound clarity, and he took such joy in the beauty of the sunrise and sipping coffee out on the deck in the morning and just being able to share that with his beloved wife, Claudia. And at that point, he would pen letters to friends all over the country. And I think all of us had a refrigerator practice. You know, we would post Dan's letters on our refrigerators. And so what struck me was that if anybody had a right to be miserable, Dan had a right to be miserable at that point because he was in the last stages of living with prostate cancer, which he had lived with for a number of years. But instead, what he showed all of us was the amazing ability to accept what's happening. And if you don't fight it, you know, if you allow yourself to grieve and rant and rail, suddenly the door of the heart bursts open and you have the ability to be happy amidst the most bizarre situations. I say that because I also wanted to lift up one more thing about metta, which is that, you know, and I know that some of you here are probably more social justice activists than you are spiritual seekers or practitioners. And I wanted to confess that when I first learned metta, I was really irritated by the phrases. You know, I thought, so what? There are people, there are homeless people just across the street that I don't know how I'm going to care for them. You know, I'm not sure how we're going to continue our ministry in this particular way. And you want me to be happy? Really? It's just I was a little difficult as a student, I think. And yet, what I've learned over the years is that I was bringing this assumption to metta that, and to my social justice work, that somehow if I allowed myself to remain miserable because I was looking into the face of suffering, that somehow my misery was going to make things better. And then I was shown a deeper lesson and a deeper challenge, which is that if I could do what Dan did, if I could not resist the reality that I was looking at or that I was living with, if I allowed it into my heart, that place of terrible suffering, what I discovered was that my heart broke open. And suddenly, the suffering was not there, squeezed into my little tiny heart, but I was one with everyone, and I realized that I was being asked to trust that there is something much bigger than each one of us as individual social justice activists and advocates, that we have to trust this larger network, whether it's the SI network or the other good people that we work with in all of the different capacities. And that the most courageous thing we can do is to dare to be happy. Thank you.
This song says, look at all the work we've done. Look at how far we've come. And then it says,
so how do we keep walking it? There is a young and just brilliant Qigong master named Robert Peng, who was taught Qigong in China by a very, very old, old master who had been imprisoned during the Cultural Revolution. And when Robert Peng was in his late teens, which is to say he still had a lot of energy. He was brimming over with energy. His master told him one day, you must cultivate your vital energy. And Robert had no idea. It's like, well, but I've got lots of energy. What do you mean by that? It's like, how much energy should I put in cultivating my energy? And his master said, you must spend 70% of your time and effort cultivating your energy, replenishing your reservoir, and 30% is for doing your work in the world. Now, when I heard this, I really thought I had heard wrong. I assumed he said 1-7, but he said 7-0, 70, not 17%. 70% of your effort goes into making sure that your vital energy, your chi, is balanced, responsible. Now, most of us raised in this culture were taught that it's better to give than to receive, and especially those of us who gravitate towards congregations have a tendency to give and give and give. Now, at the end of Friday of SI, I suspect that many of us have reservoirs that are brimming full. But how are we going to keep them like that? How are we going to keep walking that walk? If you look around you, you'll see some people who hopefully will help remind you to make sure to pay attention to that 70%. Because when we don't, when we allow ourselves to run dry, we start snapping at our coworkers, our partners, our committee members, and it's not a very pretty picture. And so I would leave you with that challenge to find a way, whether it's gardening or singing, or journaling or playing with children, belly dancing, whatever it is, make sure that you are replenishing that reservoir so that together we can continue this amazing dance of creativity and compassion and justice. This amazing song that is singing collectively through our souls. And so in closing, I would invite us to sing together a song which will, there it is, right there off on the wall. And so it goes like this. It's a very easy zipper song. What's that song singing in my soul? What's that song singing in my soul? Oh, what's that song singing in my soul? Keep on a singing in my soul. Please sing it with me. What's that song? And rise. Singing in my soul. What's that song? Singing in my soul. Oh, what's that song? Singing in my soul. Keep on a singing in my soul. A song of change. Singing in my soul, a song of change. Singing in my soul, oh, song of change. Singing in my soul, keep on a singing in my soul. Song of
song of love, singing in my soul, oh, what?
Ready for this world that awaits us all, full of courage and playfulness, dreams, work. May I be at peace and ease. May we all know the joy of our true nature. And may we all be at one and well. And may we all live in a sea of loving kindness. Go in peace. Blessed be and amen.
I'm the SI Fairy. You probably know me because I'm a big star now. Because I was in that Aesop play, clearly I had the leading role. So if you don't recognize me, I don't know what's wrong with you. But I'm the SI Fairy. I've been here before. Apparently now I'm also known as the Scary Fairy. Is young Ray in the house? I don't see too many youngsters. Young Ray, you in the house? Young Ray was observed making a statement by a fairy observed him earlier today making the correct statement that I'm not seen often with the youngest children because I'm too scary for them. And Ray is correct. So I'm the SI Fairy, and I've come to do my work here, which I'll discuss later, one of my justice complaints. It's justice. And so I check out the offerings every SI, see what I want to do and what workshops. And I noticed you had something called the Hunger Games, which I notice none of you are playing since you seem to be honoring your UU principle of equity and eating at every single station in the cafeteria at every meal. Speaking of food, the other day I wanted to make some spaghetti, and I needed a pot. So I asked someone where I could get my pot, and they said, go to the youth. So I did. And the youth said, nope, no, 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 nope, no pot here. You have to go to the adults. So let's get serious here about justice. Justice for fairies. Now, I expect that you're pretty sympathetic to my cause since your keynote speaker is a leprechaun. With an afro. So what we're really upset about here, us fairies here, I'm the leader, is our working conditions. So for example, that adventure bump that you brought with you apparently, and you think is fun, every time you almost trip over it with your big giant plate of food from all the stations. But you don't, and you catch yourself right before you dump it on another camper? Well, that's us. The fairies. That's the fairies helping you. Apparently many of you have experienced that. So, has anybody lost a tooth? Tooth? Get wiggly teeth this week? A tooth? Yeah? Yeah, lost a tooth? No, Joel, I don't mean your dentures. I have to tell you this every year. I don't mean your dentures. So, those of you who can't see it too good, but I believe you. You know, if you lose a tooth here, the tooth fairy pays double. It's true. It's true. She told me. So if you lost it like Monday or Tuesday, don't worry. You'll get your money. All the fairies are listening. But you get double. How about those of you who are riding little bikes? Has anyone gotten off your training wheels? Anybody? Sometimes you get to SI and you work real hard and you're able to go without training wheels. Well, that's also us. That's the fairies helping you. We help to hold you up. We also hold up those folks at the pub that are staggering home after last call. And those are the working conditions I'm talking about. We're not too happy about. But all kidding aside, we do love you and we love being here because fairies are attracted to light. And we can see, all of us, just as you can see in each other, that you all have the light of love, hope, and commitment to a better world inside you. So enjoy your last night of SI, and I'll see you next year.
Thank you.